Tuesday, April 13th, 2021, City Council meeting to order. And we're going to start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Please. Dan, why don't you start tonight?
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I know how to say it.
Where's your tie?
Tie?
Yeah.
I took that off about 5 o'clock. And I got some of the boys were running around.
Is that a phone or is that an echo?
It's me.
Oh, okay.
You know, I have issues.
Is that going to be okay then? Is that going to fall down? Okay.
I did, yeah.
Okay, well, next, we're cruising right along here. We need to do a roll call, please, clerk.
Coke?
Here.
Transier?
Here.
Milshewski?
Here.
Plocher?
Here.
Funkhauser?
Here.
Frieders?
Nay.
Tarulis?
Here.
He's talking.
Peterson?
Yes.
We have a quorum.
Very nice. Thank you all for attending. And, oh, I failed to announce at the beginning of the meeting. Some members are present via Zoom because the governor is allowing through his executive orders that we can continue doing Zoom meetings. And everything needs to be roll call vote. Isn't that the way I'm supposed to do it?
Yes, sir.
I can tell you about that joke, too. Okay, so we have a quorum. Are there any amendments to the agenda? I have none. Mr. Plocher?
Can we move Mayor's report number 4 instead of department number 3 so we can discuss the ruling before we...
Can we do what?
Move Mayor's report number 4 in front of number 3.
Oh, sure.
Thank you.
Oh God, we got a lot of Mayor's report stuff, yeah. So remind me when we get there. Are there any objections? Okay, we'll make that change, thank you. Are there any presentations tonight? None, okay. We have a public hearing. This public hearing, well, I will open the public hearing to report outcomes and provide interested parties an opportunity to express their views on the program activities and performance of the Community Development Block Grant Downstate Small Business Stabilization DSBS, I should have said the CDBG as well, grants funded through the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity. The total amount of funds awarded to address needs of the businesses due to the COVID-19 emergency was $160,500 and was used to assist the following businesses with working capital needs. AGJS, Inc., DBA, TECAN, Brenner Eye Clinic, LLC, Copa, Inc., doing business as Salsa Verde Mexican Restaurant, and Taqueria, Dewey's, Incorporated, Harmony Aesthetics, LLC, Mike and Denise's Pigeon Hill Diner, Inc., the Heartland School, LLC, and Whitewater Ice Cream, LLC, doing business as Foxy's Ice Cream. I know, Bart, didn't you have something to offer to this?
I do. I have a prepared script to read. So if you'll bear with me here, I've got like 2 or 3 pages, so hopefully only a couple minutes. And I will try to talk loud enough from my seat so that everybody in Zoom land can hear me okay. So this is a public hearing required by the state regarding the closeout of the Yorkville Downstate Small Business Stabilization Grant applicants. The purpose of this hearing is to report outcomes and provide interested parties an opportunity to express their views on the program activities and performance of the Community Development Block Grant Downstate Small Business Stabilization Grants funded through the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity. This program is funded by Title I of the Federal Housing and Community Development Act of 1974 as amended. I'm going to summarize each business's information as follows: the name of each business, the amount of funds the business received through the program, and what the funds were used for. At the end of my narrative on each 8 businesses, the public hearing will be opened and residents may provide comments on any of the 8 businesses. The mayor is going to control the order of public comment at that time. Grant number 13-244242, AGJS, Incorporated, doing business as Tiki Can, received $8,000 for working capital, including payroll, rent, and utility expenses. The funding has helped them retain their employees and make upcoming rent. Grant number 13-244244, Brenner Eye Clinic, received $25,000 for working capital, including doctor and staff salaries, rent, and utilities. The funding helped them keep doctors and staff employed. Grant number 13-244245, Copa Incorporated, doing business as Salsa Verde Mexican Restaurant and Taqueria, received $25,000 for working capital, including purchase of food through their different vendors, payroll, and utilities. Funding was used to continue operations into the future. Grant number 13-244246, Dewey's Incorporated, received $25,000 for working capital, including payroll and vendor invoices. The funding allowed them to pay vendors to continue to receive inventory in a timely manner and offset their expected advertising costs and lower profit margins to bring customers back into their store. Grant number 13-244247, Harmony Aesthetics LLC, a sole proprietorship by licensed esthetician Sandra Hurtado, received $7,500 for payroll, rent, and utilities. Funding has allowed them to continue paying rent and utilities and to maintain payroll. Grant number 13-244249, Mike and Denise's Pigeon Hill Diner Incorporated, has received $25,000 for working capital, including payroll, rent, and utilities. Funding was used to retain current employees and continue operations. Grant number 13-244250, the Heartland School LLC received $25,000 for working capital, including payroll. Funding has allowed them to offset their payroll costs during the shutdown. Last and certainly not least, grant number 13-244252, Whitewater Ice Cream LLC, doing business as Foxy's Ice Cream, received $20,000 for working capital, including payroll and utilities. Funding was used for bringing employees back on payroll and to offset utility and maintenance costs. A notice of public hearing was published in the Beacon newspaper on April 5th, 2021 regarding this hearing. All project information is available for viewing on our website here, https://www.yorkville.iowa.us/756/downstate-small-business-stabilization-p. And that website link is searchable on our city website as well. That's my script.
Wow, that's fascinating. Fascinating. Are there any questions or comments from anyone in the council chambers regarding this? Are there any questions or comments from anyone in Zoom land on this? Aaron, since you had a lot to do with this, do you have anything you want to offer?
Don't this is part of the closeout process for these vintages. We will have several more public hearings like this in the future. We probably have two more groups to close out like this.
That's fantastic. Again, that's $160,000. I know we've talked about this before, but between these and other grants, you and Lynn Dubacek helped local businesses, and it was about $3.5 million, if I do recall. So that's fascinating and fantastic. I appreciate it. Okay, seeing that there are no comments, I will close the public hearing. Thank you very much. Man, that was good. Okay, now we are to citizen comments on the agenda. Is there any citizen comments here in City Hall? Nope. Are there any citizen comments on agenda items for anyone in Zoom land? Nope. Okay, cruising right along. We have our favorite part of the agenda. And I think I hear Ms. Milshewski making the motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second. I think I heard a second by Cole. That was close, Sarah Seaver. Okay. And I guess I need to read what's on the consent agenda. It's the minutes of the regular city council meeting for March 23rd of this year, and bill payments totaling $904,032.18. Roll call, please.
Koch?
Yes.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Tarulis?
Yes.
Transier?
Yes.
Plocher?
Yes.
Frieders?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Fantastic. Thank you, gentlemen, Zoomland. I appreciate it. And everyone here, too. Okay, next we have Mayor's Report. Woo! This is one of my favorite parts of the agenda, if not my favorite part, where I just take over and say whatever I want. So, first of all, I'd like to give my report on the vaccination clinic. As many of you, if not all of you, are aware of J&J, Johnson & Johnson, the FDA and CDC paused, I think was the term they used, the use of those vaccinations. And that came out this morning, and we had 1,000 lead the county, but again, at the city building that we've been working great with. Jim and Lynn have been involved pretty much every day. We got a notice this morning, and we had 1,000 of those scheduled to go out today into arms, and it was booked solid. And that was going to start at 11:30, then 7:30. And unfortunately, and I know the staff there tried, they tried to get other vaccines. We just didn't have enough, so we, again, the county didn't have enough supply, and it's because the state's been giving us less vaccines, I guess because we're doing such a fantastic job. But anyway, that one had to be canceled. But Lynn and several other volunteers were over there. They spread out the word on Facebook, but not everyone sees Facebook. And when I was over there at 3 o'clock, there had already been, I think it was like 170 people come by that they had to inform them. So that was too bad. But on the positive side, I reported this last time, and I just looked again. And again, I have to qualify this by saying I don't quite understand where the state gets their statistics. But you know what? When you get a chance to grow, you grow. And Kendall County, for seniors, we are number one. I guess seniors is 65 plus. So we are number one. We've been number one for a couple weeks. And if we keep getting vaccines, we'll continue to be number one. And I believe a lot of that is because all of you and the two of you out there, too, as well as the staff and Jim and Lynn. And Bart's calmed down a little bit for you. But at the beginning, even Kathy was helping out too at the beginning, weren't you? You were. You kind of calmed me down a few times. But
yes,
all of you were so supportive and allowed the county to use that. It's been fascinating how well it's going. And people are just, they're thrilled when they go through there. And they say, oh my God, someone's running around. So thank you. I just had to give that update because I'm excited that we're doing some positive things with that building. Okay. Next, this is exciting too. We approved the insurance last time, but we're asking you to consider this. 2116, a fiscal year 2022 life insurance renewal. If we switch everything to Blue Cross, the net savings, the life insurance will go up a little bit, but the net savings on all insurance, because our health insurance will go down, is $8,600 approximately. So we're asking you to consider this. I'd like to get a motion second if you have any questions for discussion. When you get those going too, but it's just great. It's one of those bundled things. So, anyone, Seaver, are you making a motion tonight? Was that a motion from Seaver? Motion to approve?
Yes.
Excellent.
Second.
I think it was Peterson. I think I heard Peterson next. Okay, Bart, anything that you need to explain that I can explain?
No. You know, I think I covered it.
Okay, questions from the council? Mr. Funkhauser.
This is just one of those things. It's we didn't bid this, we solicited proposals. Because if you bid something and then you come back and you negotiate after, you know, you have issues. But this is one, I just don't want anybody to think that, you know, we're trying to go after one and, you know, play after the fact. But this is just them coming to us and saying, hey, we know what numbers you were provided, we can do better. So they sharpened their pencil again after they did it already a couple times. And working out to the better every time, so hopefully we can get this rolling and I have another pencil sharpener here and go the other way. This is good, it saves us a lot of money.
Other comments, questions? Oh, my phone's gone off, sorry. I can't, thank you. Okay, any other questions? We'll do a roll call, and I did forget something that I've been reminded.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Tarulis?
Yes.
Transier?
Yes.
Yes.
Clocher?
Yes.
Frieders?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Koch?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Usually I'm reminded at home that I forget things, but it's rare that the police chief reminds me that I forget things. But it happened. So, this is exciting too. Back to the vaccinations. YHS, this Thursday night, is holding a mass vaccination clinic for 16 to 18-year-old YHS students. And I think they might be opening up to some from Plano and some of the other schools soon. We're able to get, again, we, the county was able to, and this was the Jim, Rand, at the health department, and Lynn, they really, they took this and ran with it, which is exciting. We were seeing people coming, young people, 16, 18, but they can only get Pfizer, we were having Moderna, and they, in order at the time, Johnson & Johnson, they couldn't get those shots. And so we realized we were turning people away. And so they were able to work with the state to get, I think, 1,100 shots of Pfizer. And they're opening up to 16, 18-year-olds so they can get the vaccination, and that's this Thursday. If you have any questions, you can ask the chief about that. But I think it's exciting, because there are some people who want it, and they were disappointed. Kids were, and their parents were disappointed, too. So that's a good thing. Again, that is how we work together with other government agencies. We've got the county over here, we have schools here, the city's involved. It's just fantastic. It really is. So thank you. Anything else you need to remind me of? Okay, thank you. Okay, we're not to item four yet, but we're to item two. This is something from the chief. So we needed to find a new company to repair the vehicles because the company that we were using, unfortunately, they're no longer in business. And so we went out, and Carrie handled this with Jim. And so we have in front of us, and what this is a resolution approving a fleet maintenance service agreement with Jovic Ford in Plano, Illinois, to do the maintenance on the vehicles. I'm looking for a motion and a second, and we can have a discussion.
I'll
move. Second. I heard Transier. You were slow over there, Mr. Fulcher. Maybe it's just the air is traveling, the sound of speed or something. Okay, so who's going to handle this? Jim?
Carrie.
Is she on the line here?
She is.
Oh, my God. Woohoo! I can see it. I think last time you were a little dot down there, but now I see your face. Go ahead, Carrie. Thank you.
The previous contract was signed in 2019 with a local company that went out of business earlier this year. And so we did release an RFP, sent it publicly, and also distributed it to about 15 other auto shops in the area. We did receive only two submissions, one from Plainfield and then one from Jovic Ford. Jovic Ford definitely was lower in the pricing. And so we have submitted this agreement for approval for them. In the meantime, after the current contractor did go out of business, we did contract with Jovic Interim from now till May 1st to do the services for us, and they have been very satisfactory with our expectations for the quality of work that they do on the police vehicles.
Excellent, thank you. Questions or comments from the council? I'm just making sure I'm looking online here too on Zoom. Hearing or seeing none, roll call please.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Chirulis?
Yes.
Transier?
Yes.
Clocher?
Yes.
Frieders?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Koch?
Yes.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Excellent, thank you all very much. Now, we're to item four before three. That's like I after E, except after C. So four before three. So Mr. Plocher, you wanted the update. Is there anything particular you wanted to cover before we discuss the bond issuance? Or
no, if anybody wanted to discuss it, before we discuss the bond,
They tie together, they absolutely do. So that's a great point. So Bart, I know you sent out a memo. I think six of you went through tours, the other two I think just didn't want to, which is fine. Not trying to be critical, just wanted to make sure everyone had an opportunity. And it sounds like based on the conversations we had that option C is the preferred option by the majority of the council. Bart, you were there, Jim was there, so I'll let you two add what you want. That's the direction I got.
Yeah, I think the majority of the comments were that direction. Obviously we don't have to vote on one or the other until we're ready to approve the next set of contracts. But we did include alternative A and alternative C. So alternative A is the expansion, alternative C is no expansion, along with the detailed cost estimates provided by our architects. And then I tried to narrate what's included in there and what isn't. So this ties into the bond discussion because we have a cap of $8.25 million. So if we've got $2 million in land acquisition costs, a general estimate for option A of about $8 million for renovation and expansion, and then option C with just renovation is about $5.5 million. We need to pick a bond issuance amount. We do not need a formal vote on the bond issuance amount of this meeting, or even a formal vote. We just need some direction in anticipation of a May 11th bond ordinance at City Council. And so we need direction either this meeting or next meeting as to how much you want to bond for, and so that we can set that into the bond documents for May 11th. So of note, the bond ordinances that we've already approved have eligibility for expenditures generally as land acquisition of the properties that we've already purchased, renovation of the property that we've already purchased, renovation of this building if we decide to renovate it, and then purchase of squad cars and general roadway expenses. So any of our many roadway projects we could use leftover bond proceeds for at a later date. And so there's a conversation, do we want to set a higher bond amount, a lower bond amount, take advantage of the interest rates, and maybe do some additional roadway projects? That's something that we need direction on from the entire City Council. But the conversation on the cost estimates, if anybody has questions about what's included and what's not, we'll do our best to answer them tonight. And if not, we can bring you back an answer at the next City Council meeting after we're able to talk to our architects. So that's where the conversation sits, at least for the materials that are in the packet.
Jim, did you have anything? I tried to wait a spot. Did you have anything you wanted to add?
No, that's perfect.
Okay. And Joel, did you have anything?
No.
Okay. I think a great point, these tie together. We talked about that earlier when we had a 4 o'clock meeting with staff, that these really do tie together. So, questions, comments? Mr. Cole. Thanks.
So at the moment, we kind of know that we're probably going with C, right? Pretty much fair to say.
Sorry, say it again.
We're going with option C, right? Pretty much fair to say, that's what I've heard here. Because when it comes down to the next year's budget, whether it's $8 million in the bonds or $6 million in the bonds or whatever that number turns out to be, it does have a budget impact, right?
It does, yes.
There's a charge, depending on what you take, how much it costs us.
Yes.
So is the thought that you're going to try to ask for more and then maybe not use it all, but then you still get charged that and don't use it all?
Yeah, if you sell the bond, generally you have to use it on eligible proceeds. So I haven't dove into the penalties or the rules regarding not using the bond proceeds. But in general, my experience has been every bond that we've had, we've used all the proceeds, and that would be the recommendation. So that's why we added in the catch-all for roads and squad cars and the renovation of this building, so that we have options in case we do have leftover proceeds after the end of the renovation projects for the other building.
So then going into the next year's budget, we're going to be asking for the $8 million, the whole $8 million in the budget.
That's what the budget presents, yes.
Yes. We assumed a worst-case financial scenario, a full bond amount in next year's budget, so that we were conservatively budgeted.
And then that has to be timed in for May 1st. So, I guess I'm trying to get, so you said we might not have to vote on it until May, but then how do you vote on the budget with that number maybe being different?
Sure. So we need direction on the dollar amount by next meeting at the latest. If you're comfortable with the dollar amount tonight, then that would be fine with us. The budget, it's like anything else. It's like, we make an estimate for a roadway project or a water main project, And the engineer puts out his best estimate. We try to budget for, you know, that estimate and maybe a little bit then some so that we have money left over. And so it's the same concept with the funds. You know, it's you should budget for what you feel comfortable with first and foremost. But second, you know, we try to be conservative. So, you know, if we're thinking, you know, that, I don't know, we're going to go with option D on the building and it's going to be $4.5 million because we're going to not do something, you know, then, you know, I would say, yes, try to incorporate that in your budget. But if there's some uncertainty there, I would say, you know, budget for the full dollar amount. And then you can always ratchet back the budget later if you have to.
And that amount in charge for that loan gets ratcheted back too.
Spirit, yes.
Spirit's going to charge us a certain amount.
Yeah, let me pose to Rob, who's off-site. Rob, how much variability is there in the issuance costs depending on the principal amount?
Well, again, the larger the principal, larger the issuance cost. But yeah, I imagine issuance costs will be, you know, all in around, you know, $50,000-$60,000 if I had to take a guess right now.
Yeah. So if you ratchet it down a little bit, it might go from $50,000 or $60,000 to what, maybe $45,000 or $55,000, Rob?
Yeah.
So the cost isn't going to change too much, at least on the issuance.
No.
What did I see in there? I thought it was like a several $100,000 difference. When I looked through the budget, that's what caught my eye.
Are you talking about the detailed cost estimates for the renovation
part? The Sears report?
Yeah.
Because depending on which number you pick, at least that's how I understood it. And if I'm wrong, I tend to know. Let me see if I can pull it up. Figure out what you're looking at.
Ken, are you looking at the debt issuance amount, the $330,000?
Yeah, it's $8 million versus a smaller number.
Yeah, that's on PDF page 158.
Taxpayers.
Paragraph. I think that's what you're.
Yeah, that's what. So the debt service amount is like the loan repayment. That's like your annual, you know, bond payment after you issue. So yeah, if we sell an $8.25 million bond, our annual payment is going to be closer to $560,000. But if we scale it back, you know, then our budget or our annual payment is only going to be around $330,000.
That's just the payment.
Yeah.
It's not a charge that you get for having the bond. Okay.
Yeah. No, that's just the loan, the annual loan.
Okay.
And we did budget for that $560,000.
Yeah, that's $500,000. Okay.
Ken, any other questions?
No, that was the one that I was wondering about.
Okay. Mr. Transier?
Some of the items outside of purchase and renovation of Craig Point would be items that would typically be budgeted, right? Vehicle purchases, roadway purchases, or roadway repairs, all that. What would the benefit be in bonding an extra $3 million and using the bond for those types of things as opposed to doing the way we traditionally do it in the form of a budget?
Can I ask a question on that? You said an extra $3 million?
Well, I'm just going between $5 million and one option and $8 million and the other, but there's 8.2 in change.
Yeah, remember though, and we don't have to do this, but we spent $2 million out of our general fund already. So if we do the 8.25 or whatever numbers, we can reimburse that, so that gives us cash on hand to do some of these other projects. Otherwise, that's money that's not in the till to do projects in the future.
Right, so the plan would be to reimburse the general fund with the bond for the purchase of the building.
Yes.
And then, like, it wouldn't be the bond money anymore, it would be the general fund money used to purchase vehicles and do roadway.
Correct.
But it seems like six of one, half dozen of the other, where you're borrowing more money in the form of bond. Am I not reading this right?
Well, you know, you could borrow less money because we spent $2 million. Absolutely, you could. The question is, do you want to keep that out of the general fund? Because that lowered. Rob, what did our general fund have at the end of last year? Well, net cash, when you figure in the tips and all that, what was that, about $5 million, $6 million, $4 million, somewhere in there? I don't remember.
I believe it was right around $5 million.
That was
like 20 when you count for the tips.
Yeah. So then, to that point again, if we took $2 million more out of that, you know, and I know this year is going to be better, but if we took $2 million more out of that, that means we'd have $3 million in cash on hand in the general fund on a $16, $17 million budget. Do you want to be that low? I'm not comfortable in that low, but you know, others may say, yeah, I'm fine with that. So that's really what it is. You're replenishing the cash you've already spent.
Right.
That's so if you include that and say it comes at $5 million, now you're at $7 million, and that difference is $1 million and a quarter or something.
And I don't have any problem reimbursing the general fund for the purchase of this building. It makes sense to me because essentially you're financing purchase of a property over the course of 20 years.
Right.
That's what most of us have to do when we purchase
right.
a building. My question is there a financial benefit for the city to use bond money, or what would come in the form of bond money, to purchase vehicles and to do roadway repairs, things that would typically be budgeted for a fiscal year?
Yeah, good question.
And I know there's interest rates are good and you don't have to borrow later, but I mean, is there a financial benefit?
So what I would say is, vehicles, I'm not a favorite user for vehicles, I'll be honest. Because vehicles typically, even the public works vehicles might be 10 to 15 years, cop cars 5 years. I'm not a fan of using 20-year financing for that.
Yeah, and legally that's a problem.
Yeah, but
it could be the roadway.
Yeah, you could find, and we talked about this again at 4 o'clock meeting, you know, Eric and Brad said, you know, 20 years of the road, that's pushing to the limit on some of the roads. But maybe if you do some of those roads and include, you know, sidewalk projects with that road project, sidewalks will last 50 to 100 years. So it does give you more cash in hand to do some of those capital projects. So it's a choice. It doesn't mean it's a right choice or a wrong choice, but it is a choice. It allows us to do more capital projects. And that depends on what this improvement comes in. You know, if it's 4.5 and 2, 6.5, then you're like, geez, 8.25. But if it comes in 5.5, you know, now 5.5 and 2.5, 7.5, now you're like, okay, now we're on a 3/4 line. So.
And I think I'm on the same page with you as when it comes to purchasing vehicles with this type of financing. It just doesn't make sense.
No, and it was just something that I'll see, and I can absolutely take responsibility for that. When we did the original ordinance, 3, 4, 5 months, whatever, it was in November, I think it kind of time flies. That's when I was fat, well, I still am. But I should have caught that, because that should have never been, that was my fault for not, and when I saw it, like, I don't want it. I have no desire to do that. I just want you all to know, because that just doesn't make sense. It'd be like taking mortgage money and buying a 7-year car, it just doesn't make sense.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Sure. No, I started about the confusion. Jack.
Thank you so much. So if you bond this money out and you're going to put it back in the general fund, so the money that's sitting in the general fund, we're paying interest on.
Nominal, yes.
But just to pay an interest on it.
Yes.
Yes.
Just seems kind of.
Jack, I can give you an example. Technically, if you have a retirement and you're not able to cash your retirement in, they'll let you borrow against your retirement, your money, but they charge you interest.
Maybe interest
to pay
for yourself.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, I've seen that before where people have done that and they're paying interest on their own money.
But buying a building for 30 years and paying it out of current funds is very unfair to current taxpayers.
I get that, and I don't have a problem getting the bonds. Like Dan said, it's like you're buying your house and you take a mortgage out. But when you're doing the cars and things like that, and you take
right
and you're reimbursing back to keep your general fund in, I don't agree with
that. No, I don't think anyone here is suggesting that we're to buy cars with that money. I'm not suggesting that, and that's not a
whole. Or just to take the extra money and put it in the general fund, you pay interest on that for it to sit there, if that's the intention. You're saying it's to repay the general fund.
It is, absolutely. No, yeah, I'm not going to deny it. You're paying interest, absolutely. But it gives you more security in that general fund. And that's, you know, that's a personal choice. I'm not real comfortable with a $3 million general fund balance on a $17 million budget. I'm not. And that's, you know, if you are, that's a decision you can obviously make.
Something to consider that you're paying interest on the
money. I mean, you can take it down to zero and I guess pay for the whole thing or most of it, but I'm not recommending that, but that's a council decision.
But,
go ahead.
But if you did that and you didn't borrow and you used the balance of the general fund, you're forcing today's taxpayers to pay out of the general fund, because that's what we get taxed on and pay, to pay for something that's going to live in this town for 30 years. That's where the interest factor Just because it's sitting in the general fund, it doesn't change the purpose of the fact that you are financing a 30-year asset, minimum. Maybe wrong.
So, Jackie, to that point, and again, I understand it's, you know, you ask that every day in your life, you know, do I borrow money for this or that? You've been involved with the city a lot longer than I have, but you probably remember the days, and I know Bart's told me about them, where, you know, you're calling the bank every day, or you're, you know, back then you can check online, Bob, you're calling the bank, what's our bank balance, see if we can pay bills. And listen, I hope that, you know, what's going on locally continues. Pete was just telling us today how, and Bart was saying, I think we're at almost 90 single family home permits this year versus 45 last year at the same time. But we've all seen things can turn like that, and that's where having that fund balance, to me, is, you know, you're going to have those ebbs and flows, and if you take it too low, what's that number going to be? And again, I'm not saying you're wrong, but I'm not comfortable taking down 3 million. That's just my feeling. So, Joel.
Yeah, I think when you're talking about the overage as far as what the difference between the full bond amount is and what we're going to spend on the city hall, as long as those expenses go to something that's going to take 30 years to pay off because we're going to be using it for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, if it's not going to be, you know, infrastructure related as far as like sewers or sidewalks, we've got a pretty big water project coming up, so wouldn't it be possible to kind of shift some of those expenses about the future water collaboration with Oswego and Yorkville? And use some of the bond money to pay down that so that we have more money in the wind or in the water and the sewer fund? Because, I mean, we're essentially going to be spending $89 million was the first estimate. Wouldn't it make sense to kind of put some of those expenses under these bond dollars so that instead of spending money on something that's going to be gone in 5 years, we're going to be utilizing that water, at least to my debt. So wouldn't it make sense to spend some of that bond money on those things?
You cannot spend the bond proceeds on a water project since we did not list it as an eligible cost as part of the original ordinances. So your two choices there would be to find some sort of elaborate, you know, roadway project that was funded out of the water fund and then pay for that. That's freeing up money in the water fund, or restarting the process again, which isn't a huge deal. You know, you have to do the reimbursement ordinance and the bond ordinance again. You have to wait out the 30-day backdoor referendum period. So you'd be pushing back the bond sale date by a couple months.
Just, we're not paying off vehicles for 30 years that we're only going to be using for 5, I'm okay with that looking for an infrastructure.
I can't express enough how that language manner was my fault. And I have no desire, absolutely no desire to do that. That's something I've argued for 20 years. We should be, you know, when I was doing the county stuff, we shouldn't use long-term financing for, you know, short-term needs. Just, it's bad business. And the language should have been in there, and that's my fault. I can assure you all that is not what we're going to be doing if there's extras. So, and I think they're fair questions. And, you know, it's fair pointing that arrow at me, but that's not what we're looking at doing. Mr. Pulcher?
I'd say if we ratchet it down to about 7.25 mil, that should cover the building plus what we missed, and that probably won't leave us any extra money. We might actually be paying a little bit of the general fund.
There's always a bridge.
Right. So that would be my suggestion, to bring it to 7.25.
Mr. Funkhauser.
I just want to clarify a couple things. So A&D opts for A&C. $7.95 million. We have $2 million in land acquisition, approximately. That covers all the others. But then per your memo, Bart, there's items that total around almost $1 million to $1.3 million. So what we're really looking at is $10.8 million compared to $8.3 million. That's all in. So we're not even talking about covering everything.
Right.
With the full, if we go with C, it's $8.3 million. We're still short if we include everything. And that's assuming no overages or nothing of the sort. And then if we go with A, you know, then we're, you know, the $2 million that we've already expended, that just comes out of the general fund. And then what we're looking at for surplus, that's, you know, we've already worked into our budget, we're going to be using some of that to accommodate. So what I want to get at is, no matter what, this bond issuance, if we take 100% of it, it's already spent. There is nothing left to it.
Yeah, the difference in the two figures is the generator and then the roadway and sidewalk improvements around the building are not included in the architect's estimate. So they're in the memo, and it's in there, so it's like they've got $5.5 for occupancy plus another $1 million or more for the generator and the roadway.
Yeah, so there's a big chunk there that hasn't been rolled in. So that is something we do need to take into account. Yeah, so, and I'm talking about the whole project, you know, I'm still in mind, we've got to do this project right. We can't, you know, cut ourselves short and do it, you know, haphazardly. I don't want to spend money just to spend money. I've been against that from the very get-go. I wanted to make sure we knew what we were doing and get it done. So to that end, I'm still kind of torn between, you know, being very responsible and spending just the money to renovate the building with plan C, but also with plan A. That gets us a better utility of the council chambers and some of the areas because we have more room to grow right off the bat. Because when we were presented the seat, there's a little bit of room for growth, but there's not a lot. We, you know, who knows, if we have some really good years and we grow staff, that space is going to be filled pretty quickly based on their spatial plans. Option A gives us a little more room to grow for a little longer. I don't like a $3 million additional price tag, but now seeing it where we've cut that down to $2 million, I think there's still room to work on that. I want us to not rule it out yet, because I think there is some room to work on that budget number, but that just means we're pushing this further and further up, and it's going to change how our general fund budget is going to look if we're talking $10 or $11 million compared to just people. So keep that in mind. Let's not end up with a building like we have here or any of our other buildings, which have just been haphazard. I want us to do it right. You know, for the benefit of the community, let's do it right for once, for the first time, and just make sure we think through all this.
Other comments? Mr. Kovac.
So, kind of following up with the other buildings. So let's say we did this bond, then what happens? So the money that we would sell another piece of property for would just go back to the general fund? Or it wouldn't go to lower this, right? So this would stay the same?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you would use that money you brought in from another building, another property, you would use that toward the general fund, and going to the general fund, basically. Is that
correct? Right. With the timing that we're talking about, you wouldn't be able to use it prior to our renovation costs and bond issuance. You would have wide discretion once you sell those buildings where that money is. So you could put it in the general fund, you could put it in the citywide capital fund, you could fund water and sewer projects with it. You know, it would be yours to decide.
Would the downtown buildings would have to go in the TIF, though, wouldn't they?
Theoretically, it should go back in the TIF.
But that still gives you more cash in the general fund, right?
Sorry.
And it gets to Bart's point, indirectly, it does help that.
Just wanted to verify that one. Yeah.
No, and that's, you know, that. And I understand, you know, the comments, and some people want to look at other options in the beginning. I just, my feeling is for, well, it's $2 or $2.5 million for a room that's going to be used 6 or 8 times a month. We got a public works building that could be, you know, anywhere from $8 to $15 million. We're going to be talking to some firms this week or next week. To do that space needs analysis. We just know it's going to be a lot of money. I think Mr. Poach, you brought up last time that we've got to look at that as well. It's not just the one building. I don't foresee this building being short. The police plan was for at least 25 years, and if all of a sudden we start hitting 1,000 people a year again, or 2,000 people, wouldn't we peak how many homes, 700 or 800?
We did 1,000, just under 1,000 in 2006.
So if we're starting at 2,500 people a year and we need to add staff and expand, I guess then you can have an extra 20,000 people pay for that building and when that needs to be done. So I'm a firm believer that this option C is the right way to go. Jackie?
Well, I think if we're going to sell these other buildings, we are going to sell them.
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
That money should be then dedicated, say, to the next building, the public works building. I think it should be building for a building. If you can't take that money and pay down this bond, or you wouldn't want to,
right,
then it should, we should have an account that, okay, we sell downtown, it goes in, we start building that up before we start even thinking about another building.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's objecting.
We don't have the money, we don't go buy it. No, we already got. But that, I think that, not saying it goes for a water project, I think, and I think we need to get going and get actively going, getting rid of some of these buildings. You know, the downtown, the old post office, heck, where Foxy's in on the river there, why aren't we looking at getting rid of that building? What are we hanging on to that for? I mean, we've got a lot of stuff. We've got the one behind Public Works. If Public Works isn't gonna be there, you've got the house behind it on 47. So we've got lots of little pieces of property. I think we should get going and market them and see what we can do to build up a fund so we can go and then look into our Public Works building.
Just a point of clarification on the riverfront properties. We have looked at the title for everything from the Foxy space, which used to be a combat property, to the remainder of it, which is sort of owned by the state or was granted to us for use. We cannot sell any of it. So it's in the title.
Okay, okay. So that we can post on this downtown, we can do the property on 47.
Yeah.
You're on the street. You got this one.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I don't think anyone's arguing with that. I think
but
we
I
all
think,
agree.
Yeah, you know, I'd like to see us get going on that.
Well, yeah, and I think it's fair, but we're getting appraisal done that was requested. We don't have that yet. We're doing the space needs analysis for the Public Works. I agree, we're talking about it, but I think the council wanted to see appraisals on some of those properties before we did something, so we're working on that. So I agree, just.
But not say, oh, let's put it back in the general fund and put it to.
When we sell each property, we can identify that. I don't have a problem with that at all. In fact, I think everyone here is on that same page. We just haven't really expressed it, but I think everyone knows we've got a Public Works building that needs to be done. And when we sell these buildings, we can put that money towards that. I don't hear anyone argue with that, so I love that idea. Absolutely love it.
Mr. Funk, are we saying that we are not able to, you know, sell a building and then pay down the bond issuance?
Well, there's penalties on prepay them.
And that's what are there penalties on these for us to prepay? Because if we can prepay it to free up then, you know, our debt abilities, there are some potential benefits.
The bonds are not callable for the first 10 to 12 years. Period.
Yeah, okay. Because I knew at times we
said, investor wants a guarantee of a minimum time to hold their investment.
Okay, to your question about can we use those funds to make debt service payments, yes. I mean, like, it would be your discretionary funds once we sell a building to be able to do whatever we want.
We can use it for the debt service, but we can prepay to reduce our overall interest until we hit a certain term.
It's 10 or 12 years, we'll see when we get the bond.
It's not like your mortgage where you pay a little extra.
Yeah, and I just wanted to clarify that.
That's a good question.
The case.
Oh, that's good.
I mean, if we could, that'd be great, but, you know, looking at anywhere from $2 to $4.5 million of interest on these. That's,
I think this is a fantastic discussion.
Yeah. And then, so Mayor, you made a comment that we're going to have enough space. When our consultant presented, he did make the comment that the building fundamentally did not meet our requirements based on our needs. So that's one thing, that's what concerns me. When our consultant is telling us that the reason they looked at an expansion was because the footprint didn't meet the needs. That's my one concern. That's just where I'm bringing that up, is that we have our faith consultant expressing his concern. So I just want to make sure that even though we have a good plan with Concept C, we've been told that maybe we're cutting corners somewhere. I don't know exactly where that is.
So I understand that. I understand that because it caught my attention too. Fair comment. But when you look at option A versus option C, 99% of the differences are you're adding on a room for us to meet in six times a month.
Primary.
But if you look at it, that's the difference. There's nothing to say. To your point, if all of a sudden we have 1,000 new homes a year for the next 5 years and all of a sudden we're adding staff right now, that building will still last us with tremendous growth, much more than we're seeing now. Absolutely. The cheapest, and that's going to last in 25 years, maybe more. We have room to grow the other staff. But let's just say that happens. You know what? Because the layouts of the building are option A and option C are the same, we can always choose to add on in the future. And I get it, the costs are more expensive. But if we don't need to do that for 30 years, why do it? And if all of a sudden we see this tremendous growth, let those people help pay for the building. Don't burden the people living here now if we don't need something. Don't build something you don't need so we can have a nice meeting room for six meetings a month when we're asking the staff to work in the other three floors every day. It just doesn't make sense to me. And you know, if we have 1,000 homes here for 5 or 10 years and we're all here, we can have that discussion. I don't see it happening. And I think I understand your point. You gotta look at it practically and say, what do we want to pay for this? Should people live here now or maybe 40,000 people in the future? And that's where I look at it. Build it when you have more people. Other questions or comments? Either of you, I keep trying to watch, either of you make sure I miss no hands. Jason or Joel, I'm not missing your hands waving at all. Joel, you got your glasses up now. Are you getting tired?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. Okay. Any other questions on the Prairie Point building update? Did I miss anything, Bart?
So I've heard a couple comments related to the dollar amount. Joe originally talking about 7 1/4. Chris then brought up the part about the generator of the roadway at 8.25. I mean, it sounds like everybody's kind of somewhat in their mind picked a dollar amount. So, you know, to the extent that everybody can agree to something tonight, that's it would save us a little bit of time.
Joe?
I'll change mine because I didn't factor in another million. Yeah, I'll change it to the full amount.
So you're okay with 8 1/4?
Yeah, we're just.
Ken?
Yeah.
Seaver?
Yeah.
Jackie? Chris?
Howard.
Mr. Transier?
You know, we're not buying cars with it.
I wasn't buying cars with it.
That's fine.
You all don't have to let me have that one off because I deserve everything. Hope I get out of that. You don't get a vote on this.
I
have to ask you other aldermen before you speak, okay? Just because they're in Zoom doesn't mean they're second class.
They're not, they're my favorites out there.
Okay, well, Jason and Joel?
Yes, sir. I love Kathy.
Okay, there you go. Kathy, you're good to go now.
No. We are, Rob and Bart and I, have to specifically tell bond council tomorrow morning the specific uses. And so, as I understand what I've heard today, the specific uses are acquisition, the rehabilitation of Prairie Point and this building if there's money, and roadway. There will be no mention of vehicles, and we will clarify.
Oh, perfect.
As a side conversation, I did ask Rob what it would take to take that out, the cars, out of the ordinance. So he's going to check with bond council tomorrow morning. His initial thought, though, is counter to yours. He thinks that we might have to restart it. If that's the case, you know, we'd have the discussion again, but we'll figure it out.
But, right. My understanding was to reduce what you're doing is okay. We could increase
hopefully.
It. We'll verify.
Sure.
Either way, I'm not going to use for cars.
Right.
I'm not going to use for cars. Yeah. Yeah, I've been duly scolded.
Okay.
Next bond issuance will have cars and the language. Okay.
It's 3 and 4.
Yeah, kind of mystery 4, isn't it? Is that covered?
Number one, thank you.
You run an efficient meeting. You want to run the next one? That's fantastic. Okay.
No, so, sir.
Okay, so 3 and 4. We did 2. Okay. What? You're next. Public Works.
No report.
Okay. You run real efficient team. Economic development?
No report.
That's the Ward 2 people running real efficiently tonight. Thank you very much. Public safety?
No report.
Okay, well, we can add to other wards as well, looks like. Admin?
No report.
Well, look, I love this very much. Thank you. Park board, anything from the park board, Tim?
No report, Mr. Mayor.
Wow. Where's Christy? Planning and Zoning Commission? I think I saw that was canceled, correct?
I'm here.
Yes. And then planning zoning we need to talk about?
No report.
Excellent. Oh, one thing I want to offer on the planning and zoning. I saw the Paradise Car Wash had their nice sign up, and it looks fantastic. That digital LED sign looks fantastic. So thank you. Let's see. City Council report. Joe, you leaving us?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Damn right. I got 2 updates for you. Number one, the National Suicide Prevention and Action Month Proclamation Project went over today. We're at 40 cities in 19 different states. I've had meetings pretty much every day the last few weeks. Next Tuesday, I believe, we're going to be accepting from Columbus, Ohio. via CCTV, so that's pretty exciting. And we have a number of communities, Diners Grove and Darien, we're doing our best to peer pressure them into adopting the proclamation. Also, that craft beer project I'm working on, we are now at 164 breweries in 6 different countries around the planet. So starting on May 1st, you'll be seeing beers titled The Things We Don't Say, which is a way to get people who work in the craft beer and alcohol industry to actually talk about their mental health instead of just drinking. Yes, we're doing that by raising awareness and dollars using the beer can. But that beer can will have a QR code, which will people in the ability to actually type in their zip code and actually find some mental health resources that can afford for the things that need help. So I'm incredibly proud of the progress we've had with that project. So I'll give you one more update, one more last update. Great night.
Thank you, Joel. Any other city council items? Okay, I'm going to check these off. I've got to make sure to check these off so I don't miss anything. City clerk report?
No report.
Oh, fantastic. Community and liaison reports. Dan, you have anything?
I think there was a very productive meeting at the library board yesterday about the use of some of their extra space for the preschool.
Good. That's good.
I imagine the discussions will continue. Hopefully, an answer will be provided before the August date.
No, we're looking sooner than that. We'd like to be in there in August. Yeah, we'd like to be in there in August. And in fact, you're going to be the liaison until we get the result, Dan. Just so you know.
Fair enough.
Like it was enough. So excellent. Any other liaison reports? Anything? Ken Cotton's not going crazy right now. Any crazier than they have been?
Nothing at the moment.
At the moment, yeah. There's always a qualifier. Okay. Staff reports?
No reports.
Well, we did item 4 of the mayor's report continued. So back to budget now. Probably won't bring this up, but I will. So we can vote on the budget tonight if you want. However, I want to throw this out there. Eric and Brad, I guess Brad mostly, but Brad's getting some estimates together for some additional roads because we're getting some numbers in. There's some roads with a couple of sidewalk sections that we'd like to add for next year if we can, and because the sales tax numbers came in, what we're hoping is if Brad thinks he will have these numbers maybe later this week, early next week, what we're hoping is to have these numbers, see if we can make those fit in next year's budget to expand the road project and some sidewalk sections. So if you want to vote on tonight, that's fine. What I'd really love is if you could wait until the next meeting, it's the last meeting, but see if we can make those work in the budget. Because there's, I know we're still not funding, what is it we're supposed to fund, Brad? $2 million a year in roads or something like that, ideally? Brad, there?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, I thought I saw you. Okay, and even with the expanded project we did last year, we're not going to be there. So you want to vote tonight? Otherwise, I ask that you just give us a couple weeks to see if we can expand those road and sidewalk projects. So.
Motion to table for 2 weeks?
Yeah. There's second by Polk. All in favor?
Aye.
All in favor, just to table, I'm sorry.
Can we actually have some discussion? Because I have a few points that I just want to, I mean, I'm okay with it, but there was a few questions that I had with just generalities in it, so 3 items.
Okay, so.
I can go fast.
Point of order, we have a motion seconded.
Right, you have.
We can withdraw the motion, or we can.
Excuse me, I didn't call the question, so. I'm going to speak to that point right now. Thank you. Mr. Frieders, can you hold off on that motion while he asks a couple questions and there might be some others?
I'll allow it.
Thank you. Okay.
Okay, so going through it, looking into the countryside TIF discussion, is the banking facility not going to happen?
Is it to be determined? Building permit, I believe, has since expired. The last conversation that I had with the representative was probably 3-4 months ago. They still intended to build it, and I think that as the economy continues to improve, at least locally, the demand should still be there. So I just, there's no guarantee. There's no incentive tied to it. There's no, other performance and any other agreement. It's basically just an open building permit at this point.
So this has really changed a lot, right? Last day, right? And does it mean we're going to come out never to positive by the end of it?
Yeah, it's definitely in question. And I would say that it's about half related to the banquet facility not being getting built, but the other half is that the hotel and the theater, I think, have both received reassessments that are lower. So they petitioned, and so that cuts into our TIF revenue, and so that has changed our projections pretty substantially. So I do know that the we've got our tax levy certifications from the county clerk a couple weeks ago. The property tax revenues were slightly higher than we expected. So there is some positive movement, at least as far as property values go there. It's just not enough for us to say, like, you know, 10 years from now, everything is going to be fine financially.
Okay. So looking forward, can you maybe let the bonds that we're going to have expire, like some of the water tower stuff, right?
Yeah.
Those are coming off the books here. What time frame is that, 26?
Some of them are within the five-year budget, so you should be able to see that, like when the debt service payment zeros out. And there are a few in the water and sewer funds. The most, or the largest ones, the sanitary sewer, the Rob Roy, and a couple others, are just off budget. So next year's five-year proposal, I think we'll see the retirement of a couple other pretty large bonds. So we can get you the schedule so that you can see when those fall off. But next year should be, you know, pretty interesting, at least as far as that's concerned.
Because that gives us a lot more wiggle room, even if we go with a public works facility down the road, at least you have some money coming out. I know there might be other expenses dealing with it. And then the other last item I was wondering, if you do the UDO, the ERP, if that's going to be done in this next budget year, can that be pushed toward the end of it? So we see where, because we're coming out of this COVID thing, hopefully. And it'd be nice to know for sure before you, because those are big ticket items, right? So
yeah.
I was just wondering if the timing of that would be.
So Ken, on the UDO, we did talk about starting it up right in May.
Yes.
Okay.
But the ERP, great question. There's still a process that staff would have to go through to figure out which firm, recommend a firm. Realistically, before we would even spend any money, it would be midway through fiscal year at the earliest, and it might be next.
Then we know what we're spending.
No, exactly. So just that process alone is going to push that. And we've got, what do we have, 250,000 or something throughout the budget? I don't remember the number, but it's,
yeah,
that's the bigger of the two, and that one will be pushed off just through the process itself.
Okay. Just questions that I had.
Okay. Other questions, since we're back talking budget, go ahead.
At our last meeting, I threw out the idea of doing a rebate for some of the surplus that we had. And I just wanted to see if there was any, you know, the feeling that if there's any traction for that to give back to the residents a little more surplus.
Do you have a proposal on how you want to do it?
Well, my thought would be it's either something that's on our utility bill. You know, if we determine an amount, we can do it on utility bill. That's an easy one. You know, setting out credit checks, that's a, you know, that's a not an easy thing, but that would be my recommendation. If we want to do something, we give them a credit on utilities.
I'd be open if you came with something. Yeah.
Kind of need an idea, though.
Yeah.
Because yeah. No, we had the extra $2 million surplus, but we have rolled that into the budget in terms of planning for it. You know, it would vary. I mean, how much would we want to do, you know, get back? I mean, you do that for each of the residents. Or each of our residential utility bills, I mean, that could be $150 to $200 that goes back to them, you know, if we give a one-time credit. Definitely not something that's ongoing, but it'd be a one-time credit, you know. So that's something that we, you know, I'd like to consider it.
So
it doesn't have to be as much. It doesn't have to be the full surplus that we have.
If you all want to consider that, you know, it's entirely up to all of you, but I don't hear anything getting ferreted out in the next 2 weeks. We do need to approve a budget. My guess is if y'all want to do that, it's going to be something you're going to run through your committees, look at it, and you're going to have to do a budget amendment. Because I don't see a real proposal coming forward and getting it together for the next 2 weeks.
So that would work, right? You could approve the budget
yeah.
like it is, and then
But then we have to go back.
A budget amendment.
You absolutely have to do it. And again, if you don't, I'm not saying I'm for or against, it depends on the proposal. You know, if you're talking about giving away $750,000, I'm not sure that I'd be on board with that. Just being up front with you, but I don't see how we're going to get something crappy in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Really?
There are a number of towns that are doing need based utility billing grants, and some of them did fund that type of a program through like the CARES funds that we already received. And while we haven't seen the Treasury rules yet on the American Rescue Plan funds, which is the $2.55 million we're going to be getting over the next 2 years, I believe that the intent and some of the general language that's already listed would contemplate that type of a program for use. So and we haven't done any discussion or any planning for the use of those funds other than to say we have a giant water project we have to fund at some point or another. So I believe that that could be an appropriate use for maybe a portion of those funds.
Yeah, I'd be open to that. Yeah.
Other questions, comments? Mr. Freeters.
Yeah, since I'm in the fun lame duck portion of my elected official existence, I'll say that sounds stupid to give $15 back to every resident on one freaking water bill. If you have $750,000 available, please use it to finish the rest of my road in Whispering Meadows. That is ridiculous. Need-based is one thing. If we're going to start talking about giving the money back instead of actually investing in the city, that is a waste of time.
Any other comments? Any other comments on the budget? Because again, this is back to budget time. Okay, so we'll vote on the budget in 2 weeks. Perfect. Excellent. And we'll look at those things. I'll put and get some of those in, maybe all of them. Well, no, they took the withdrew the motion, so we'll just have them in for next time. Is that right?
Well, the motion to table and second, put it on the same agenda, but if you want to do it informally, I'm there.
Which would you prefer?
Oh, I prefer.
I make a motion to table.
There you go.
2 weeks to next meeting. I heard Mr. Freeters for the second. Okay, this requires a roll call to
Transier.
Yes.
Plocher.
Yes.
Freeters.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, absolutely.
Peterson.
Yes.
Koch.
Yes.
Milshewski.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Yes.
Tarulis.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Very nice. Good discussion on all of that. I love it. Additional business. Is there any additional business? Yes. Wait, excuse me. Let's pause for the train whistle. Hang on. Okay, go ahead. Jack, go ahead, please.
Excuse me, it already went by. Didn't you hear it? Mr. Peterson, do you want us to join you in, or are you okay skipping the executive session minutes review?
I'm okay skipping it.
Oh, you get it.
I don't think that's fair.
Well,
I think we all should skip it.
Hey, listen, if there's no motion and second, I might get berated by Lisa here, but I am looking for, to save myself with Lisa, a motion for the discussion of minutes of meetings lawfully closed under the Open Meetings Act, whether for purposes of approval or semi-annual review. Well, I hear no motion. When Lisa is overseeing my grave, I want you all to put flowers in. Okay, how about, do we have a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Second by roll call, eight yeses. Thank you all very much. Good meeting.